Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 16, for November 21st, 2006. Trick of a Tale.
It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Take off your shoes, loosen your trousers, drop your fly, ladies and gentlemen. We're all together in the same room, and we're having some fun now. I'm Leo Laporte, and we actually are all in the same room. Scott Bourne to my left, the Bourne Supremacy.
Good to be here, Leo. Good to have you finally show up.
Yeah, last time you did this, I was a cardboard cutout.
We had a picture of you in your elf suit. And we had you sitting at the edge of the table. And
it was very cute.
We sort of bowed reverently to you.
Oh, and that's very nice.
You said, enjoy it because I'll never be there.
And I was, once again, you've caught me in a lie. Merlin Mann is also here from 43folders.com. Hey, Merlin.
Good evening. How are you, Leo?
In his Odeo shirt. You like wearing defunct...
They're funked.
They're funked. They're funked.
They're funked.
But they're on the way to defunking.
Don't you think? So.
What's the story with Odeo? What is the plan?
Well, I don't know. I hear things. People say that they're not, quote-unquote, actively developing.
Seems they can't figure out what to do. They didn't
I think Ev bought his stuff back.
Yeah.
It's all his now.
Yeah. So.
He can turn it into...
Which was nice of him. I mean, basically, he said, you know, I understand. We're not going anywhere. So I'll give you the... He gave the investors their money back.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he now has the freedom to do what he wants.
Yeah. I love Odeo. Nothing but great to me.
And I love Ev. I think Ev's brilliant.
I would love to have a copy of him on my shelf. He's a delightful human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good guy.
Would you have him a dust cover out?
I would keep him mint in box.
Mint in box. I have an Ev mint in box.
On my slender web entrepreneur shelf.
That's a small number and shrinking rapidly.
Very, very small.
Alex Lindsay from Pixel Core, our host, is here. It is the Pixel Core Studios we are broadcasting from.
Hello.
There it is.
Where does that come from?
You know, you never would be.
I had to do it.
It's always there.
And on Steadicam and Banjo, Craig Severson, the pod grunt, who will not be heard on this episode.
Hi, Craig.
He's also the video grunt, and I guess today he's video grunting.
B-roll provided by the video grunt.
So what are we going to do with this video?
I have no idea. Craig just started shooting, and we just figured we wouldn't kill him.
Just for potential marketing use.
To prove we really were here all
in
around the
room.
We might as well get it out of the way. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, it
gloat
just so
away.
Happens. You know, we have this little system, in case you're new to the show. We have a delicious tag
system
set up.
Where Scott says, iPhone, iPhone, iPhone. That's the system.
This is when we usually go and play pinball. He just talks about the iPhone for
you know,
a while.
You hand off to me and then you badge me.
Let me ask you. Is there any news in the iPhone realm?
There's going to be an iPhone.
There's going to be an iPhone.
We know that.
Can I finish?
Okay.
We have this system where, and it was devised by Mr. Merlin Mann. And, you know, he does systems for a living. We have a delicious tag, MBW Ideas. And completely unsolicited by moi, random human beings have posted some 100 instances of iPhone-related
really?
Information.
You know what that is.
Why would that be?
Because there's a drinking game. No, seriously.
Okay.
They're priming the pump. There's a drinking game every time.
We're destroying the livers of young geek America.
My particular take on it is that there are millions of people who are just like me, equally excited about the iPhone. And here's the news. There are not going to be just one iPhone. There's going to be two.
Now, what's weird about that is that was the original news. Then somebody a few weeks ago, I think it was the Taiwanese company that's making them, said we're making 12 million, but there's only one. And now, who says there's two again?
You know, one of the rumor sites.
You know, maybe they're reading the old story and they brought it back.
But here's my take on it. The important news is that if there's going to be two...
There's at least one.
There's at least one. Right. That's all I care about.
I do have to admit, my trio is limping along, and I am waiting. Like, I'm just not willing to upgrade it. It's past its thing. I'm just waiting to upgrade.
I think this is kind of a fetish point. I can't see any reason why anybody would say, oh, an iPhone is somehow better in any way than
that. We don't know because we don't have it yet. But what we assume, and we've had this conversation three times, is that we're going to get sync at least, which we have trouble getting.
But, you know, Mark Space just released Missing Sync 3.
3 for Windows Mobile 5. It works great with Windows Mobile 5. This Windows Mobile syncs perfectly well to my Mac. Here's a BlackBerry with Pocket Mac. Syncs very well to my Mac.
You're discussing Windows. This is the Mac show.
Well, that's a BlackBerry. That's not Windows.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about those ones specifically. All I know is my Trio has never successfully synced without causing trouble.
Let me just ask you, has anybody actually ever synced anything without causing trouble?
No, that's it's the possibility of good sync that makes me excited.
Okay, Kenji Kato and John Foster both say they're in the background.
And even though I know this is going to lead to an immediate crash the second the words have come out of my mouth, I've never had a single problem syncing anything on my Trio.
Where it doesn't duplicate.
I'm talking movies.
How does it not duplicate?
MP3s, I call Alex thing. And my friend Norman answers. I have numbers moved around. It's normal.
Are you sure that's not happening in your address book? Because I've had address book jumbles happen.
Well, how do you know? Well, you don't know why that address book jumble happened. I think I've jumbled my words here. I have to explain to somebody. We've today already done 12 podcasts, 12 video podcasts.
We're a little punchy.
13?
13.
And did some dancing around in front of a green screen as part of the video open. We're preparing a new podcast, right. GMT, Gear Media Tech. So I am completely punchy.
Well, we'll just move on then to finish one last thought.
All right, one more thing.
The second iPhone is designed to be built around iChat, according to the rumor site, MacRumors.com.
I can't think of anything more depressing.
MacNN is citing this coming from American Technology Research Senior Analyst Sha Wu.
Yes,
Sha Wu has never lied to us before.
Mr. Wu is also cited in my story.
Sha Wu, with me, Dr. Wu.
I could put Google Talk, I could put iChat on any phone I got right now. I mean, it's Jabber. I don't know what makes that so spectacular.
Well, what
would it be? Video? Would it be a video phone?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you combine now. I'm interested. You combine Wi-Fi with video iChat. Actually,
I'd be really into that.
Yeah. That might be intriguing.
Right.
So what we have here is the admission from you, Mr. Laporte, that there might be some instance in which the iPhone would to you be interesting.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, that's all I need.
I'm not saying no. I mean, I buy a new phone every few months.
We're weeks away from Macworld as we record this show. And we're weeks away.
We should say that we are going to do a special edition of this show at 6 o'clock on the 8th of
at the Apple Store.
At the Apple Store.
So you all can come watch, and I'll probably be standing there holding up a picture
of the iPhone.
We're
going to have some great people. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Alex is going to use Gopher. It says on that new phone. I don't know what that means.
As long as it runs Archie and Veronica.
There was Gopher, Archie, and Veronica. Yeah.
That's all you needed.
That was it. Before.
I don't even know what Gopher is.
Oh, come on. That's crazy talk.
It was before the web.
Yeah. You guys are not old.
Yeah,
enough.
I don't know. I think there's also been some speculation about the form factor. There's been some rumors that it is going to be
banana.
Banana?
That's our safe word.
Related to our safe word. Oh, it's going to look like form factor.
No, it's not.
It's a banana form.
So it'll be curvy?
I'm being assaulted. No, in terms of long and skinny.
Hmm.
And curvy.
Maybe curvy.
Have you ever seen a long, skinny, straight banana?
Actually, I have. won't talk about it here, though.
That Vancouver's a swinging town, I got to tell you.
You are correct.
All right. So exciting,
that's the most important news of the night.
It's not news. We've been saying this for 6 months.
No, it's the second phone news.
Aren't we at a point where we should be seeing, you know, like people sending out these phony baloney fake mock-ups of what it looks like and
I've
stuff?
I've gotten all of them sent to me already.
Oh, we're totally at that point. We're beyond that point. That's the irony of this.
Okay, we should
move on. A moratorium on iPhone news until we actually have an iPhone.
Let's not get crazy here. A moratorium for this show.
Merlin Mann, what's your big story of the week?
Oh, God, what is my big story of the week? I've just been I've been browsing through. This is one I got off a dig that I don't know if you know about this guy on Fox News named Bill O'Reilly. But I didn't actually see this, but apparently Bill O'Reilly had a tirade. I really don't want to get in trouble with Bill O'Reilly.
Did you mean Bill O'Reilly?
I guess that's who I mean.
That's how you get in trouble with him.
He went. This is coming from via dig on thinkprogress.org. The quote from Bill O'Reilly is, "I don't own an iPod. I would never wear an iPod. If this is your primary focus in life, the machines, it's going to have a staggeringly negative effect. All of this on America." He goes on to say, "I really fear for the United States. Wear an iPod?
You
can't talk to these geeks." He says, "I mean, you can carry on a conversation with them. I really fear for the United States because believe me, the jihadists, they're not playing the video games." No, they're killing real people over
there. That's right. Well, some jihadists are, because Al Jazeera is using Macs.
Great.
This is a nice segue.
Yeah.
Not that they're jihadists.
They're not.
In the least, but...
No, they have picked up. Evidently, it was, and I don't think this was a press release from Apple.
You know, so for immediate release.
I think. No, I guess they have picked up Al Jazeera.
No virgins for you, young man.
This was from one of the Apple resellers, I think, the Arab Business Machine Limited. They sold 41 MacBook Pros, 70 terabytes of Apple storage, 10 Apple X serves.
Heavy newsroom.
Yeah, 14 Apple XN software licenses and 12 Power Mac G5 quads. Just crazy amounts. This is really like a lot of the laptops, I guess, are for the reporters to be doing their editing and stuff like that. And this is it's just becoming standard issue.
Bill O'Reilly knew about this when he was
probably
speaking.
But I do have to say, by the way, I guess the first 5 minutes of Al Jazeera is somewhere online. I don't know what it was, but I tuned into 5 minutes of Al Jazeera, and it's actually
you're marked for discretion.
I know, I'm marked for discretion. I got to say, the production values were very high.
They were.
It was.
And
they looked
Comcast
really
won't
good.
Carry it. Is that correct?
I don't know.
No American cable network.
I think if Al Jazeera was smart, they'd be putting it online. Just let people download it as a podcast.
I haven't followed the story closely, but it's not the same. It's precisely the same thing as the Al Jazeera that. We're more familiar with.
No, it's a whole English. It's not translated. It's a whole different division that's just giving you Al Jazeera's take on world news and everything.
Radio
else.
Free Al Jazeera.
Yeah, which by the way, the
voice of Al Jazeera.
It's something like that. I don't know. But it's interesting. The choice of news and where, they have like reporters in the Sudan and Iran and in all these places that we don't really see reporters really because they get shot.
I don't want to take pot shots here, but I live in San Francisco. I'm allowed to have these kinds of opinions. If most Americans would watch BBC News, on BBC America, it's such a different take on practically everything from we've grown so accustomed to the kind of stuff that gets shoveled around on local news.
I agree.
And you watch something like BBC and it is really substantial.
We don't have very good international
substantial
coverage. I was watching CNN
form.
International. National, it's 10 times better than CNN US. 10 times better.
Yeah.
So, we seem to like sensational news, frankly, in this country.
In tiny, tiny bites.
Yeah. Quick and sensational. And speaking of which, did you see that Britney Spears dumped her husband, K-Fed, via SMS message?
and now he is promising to sell their sex tape,
and she is threatening to put it out herself
for
so
free.
He won't make anything off it. Yeah.
But we do prefer to take the high tone approach.
And the question we have, of course, here is: will it be on QuickTime?
will KFed
use H.264 or MP4?
We talked about this on Net at Night, but actually Britney removed KFed from her top 12 favorites list on Myspace, so it's over.
At that point in time, it's over. FedEx.
That's right.
Man.
It's over.
Well, there's a more important story, I think, than Britney, and that is that Apple's stock, fellas, is at an all-time high.
Wow. So's Google's.
And Google just passed 500?
Broke 500.
Yeah. The difference would be the earnings to price ratios are somewhat different in those.
Really? What is the PDE for Apple?
It's reasonable, and the one for Google isn't.
It's outrageous.
So let's just look at it like that. I think this big stock jump shows that the faith in the company, even after the stock option scandal, continues to grow.
Yeah. Well, that's what Alex has been saying.
It's just going to keep on going. I mean, they're just. I think that I really feel like Apple. I still feel like they're just getting their wits about them. Since Steve came back. But I think Apple basically spent 10 years going backwards. Literally from the mid-80s to the mid-90s, it was poorly.
The Spindler years and the Guillemillo years were
just a waste of time, and they lost a lot of ground.
You ask Woz, and I don't know if this is loyalty to Emilio or what, but you ask Woz, and he says, the turnaround began with Guillemillo.
I don't believe that.
Well, although Emilio was the guy who approved the next purchase, which brought Apple.
Okay, well,
he believes that many of the turnaround moves were actually implemented first by Guillemillo. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It was just such a mess.
It was a mess. In fact,
you couldn't figure out what computer to buy.
When Jobs arrived, they were still licensing Macintosh to third-party companies. First thing he does, of course, is pull the plug on that.
Well, part of that is that the this is... I don't know if I should... Anyway, so the...
And you know it, and you can say it. No one knows who you are.
All right, yeah, there we go. So, I mean, there are rumors that a lot of this had to do with the fact that over at Motorola, you know, you had G3 and G4, and while they were developing these G4s, the idea is we give the cheap laptop chips, the G3s, to Motorola and to Power Computing, and we give the big G4s to, we're going to keep those for high margin sales. And as they were building them up, the engineers were showing, you know, when they were doing their presentations, they were showing how we're going to put all this extra, you know, RAM dedicated to the chip, the L2 RAM, dedicated to the G3 chip. And what happened was that suddenly the G3 chip was going to be a lot faster than the G4. And that's what happened. You know, the 603, it was 603 with that back then, but when we made a G3, remember those laptops that came out that were faster than a lot of our towers?
Wow.
Well, they were, and what happened was is that all these guys that were getting these secondary computers were about to release, when Jobs came in, they were about to release computers that were going to be much faster and cheaper than what Apple was releasing.
Okay.
Apple, if Jobs hadn't bulldozed, I mean, the rumor is there was.
So it wasn't merely they didn't want a license; they were actually going to eat.
Apple would have been gone in 3 to 6 months. I mean, it would have been poof. I mean, they weren't making enough money. That actually makes sense
because I remember speaking to Jobs before he went back to Apple, and he said we should have licensed the Macintosh operating system. Back when Windows was still a 3.0, that was our opportunity to really become the next Microsoft. He believed in licensing. So it wasn't that he was against licensing per se. He was just afraid of these companies making a better computer.
And that's what was about to happen when they when they killed it off.
Would Apple ever license OS X? I keep saying, you know, Leopard has now been ported.
I don't think so.
To PCs, to beige boxes. You know, they're having a hard time preventing.
Well, it's been pirated.
Yeah.
Which means that every update is going to be just enough. You know, they'll break it every single time. So someone who's really committed to having OS, you know, who wants to have Leopard running on.
I think this is in the back pocket. It's just Jobs. It's the scorched earth. Last final solution. If things don't go well for Apple, that's when he breaks glass in case of emergency and all of a sudden releases OS X. He doesn't do it as long as the hardware business remains.
It just keeps on getting bigger. I don't see how they do that anytime soon because it just, you know, if that's what they're measuring it by, it keeps on. I mean, it's grown faster over the last year than it has in maybe a decade, and so
very profitable.
Yeah,
and the stock market will attest.
Well, I think what you just said, Leo, is actually very accurate. I don't see them ever doing it.
Unless they have to.
And when they do, it'll be like, an electromagnetic pulse kind of thing. And it'll be big.
But what about this? Now, this nobody said this, but, you know, there is a natural life cycle to an operating system. OS X was the new kid on the block. Windows was kind of getting old and shaggy. Well, now there's a new Windows 5 years later, Vista. What is the strategy following up OS X? Is it just Leopard and then Puma and then Cougar?
There's only four cats left.
They've trademarked them all.
Well, and they've said that they're going to slow down a little bit on the amount of development.
But is it always going to be OS X looking forward, or are they working on a new operating system?
This would be the first time in years that they're not. We're not really working on a new operating system now. I mean, we're working on an operating system that's 30 years old. I mean, you know, it's
Unix.
It's Unix. And so, you know, we're not really working on a new operating system. We're working on one that's been proven
that's
to work
kind
for
of a
long, long time.
In the way that Apple does business, because it's the first, I mean, you know, Microsoft keeps redoing Windows.
Right.
Of course, they'll get it right one day, too. but Apple doesn't need to redo OS X?
Well, the infrastructure, I think they're probably going to sit on, my guess is they'll sit on Unix for at least another decade. You know, I would be really surprised
when the whole thing breaks.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we have another decade of at least Unix.
Isn't there something to be gained by just continuing to refine what they've got and to add features, you know?
There's no need.
To add solid features to what's in place.
Right. There's no need to change. Yeah.
One way Windows became Windows was by having a really solid installed base and, you know, not upsetting the Apple cart. And that's one thing Apple seems that they'll have to face at some point is you can't, you know, completely turn things upside down because of the installed base, you know, issues. But
Apple's been much more willing to do that.
But now they no longer need to. They've been able to do that in hardware. But you have to say they brought everybody along with Rosetta. Mm-hmm. They've done a very good job, actually, much better than I anticipated of moving to Intel.
Well, I think they've been working on new operating systems. The problem is that the people that are involved keep ending up, you know, in the river because they talk to somebody about it and they never get far enough along to think about a release date.
So what do they do with the iPhone? What operating system does the iPhone run on?
I haven't a clue.
Do they license it as they did the iPod OS? They did not write the iPod.
The other thing is that, I mean, and I don't know this for sure, but I think some of this, the iPod software has a lot more in it. I mean, the chip that sits inside of an iPod is a lot more powerful than just running what it runs. Hmm. So I don't think that they, I don't think they, I think there's a lot in that software that's
the iPod. Do you think this thing's going to be more iPod than phone?
I think that it runs like an iPod. It just happens to have some way to dial and so on and so forth. I think the iPod operating system in itself can run the phone on its own.
A lot of the rumors have referred to the musical side of this phone. So that would follow up with what Alex is saying. They've talked about a iTunes capable phone more often than they've talked about a phone.
I have to say, now, as much as I liked the Zune when it first came out, now that it's out and I've played with it, there's a lot to dislike, including the copy protection, the fact that they're paying money to Universal and so forth. But one thing I do like, and I've never had this experience before, is the notion of a subscription music library. Yeah. Now, you know, iTunes, you pay a buck a song and that's it. There's no way. But with a Zune store, you can do that, but you can also pay a subscription fee, and anything in the store. It was great. I dragged it onto my Zune.
Kind of like Rhapsody?
Yeah. You fill it up, all you can eat.
Really?
It's a subscription service.
And, no, it and seems that Apple's very much against that, though.
Yeah, I know they are, and I wonder why, because I have to say, that having now had that experience, I poo-pooed it for a long time. It's actually a great experience. You just copy whatever you want.
I love that with Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. I mean, until I got rid of my Windows box a few years back, I mean, I was using Rhapsody up to the second I shut it off. I would love to have that on a Mac, but I think Rhapsody in particular is heavily based on IE.
Always been Windows is Place for sure, and you need something like Place for sure to do that. That's kind of the irony, is that Microsoft developed this Place for sure, which means it means a portable device can check, you know, phone home periodically to make sure it's still licensed. If you don't pay your monthly fee, all of the songs disappear. Yeah, ironically, they developed that. They use it. A lot of people, Yahoo Music Store uses it, MS's Endzone Store uses it, and then the Zune doesn't use it. There's a whole new Zune Marketplace. The Zune Marketplace looks so much like iTunes. It's very iTunes-like with this one exception. You know, they have iTunes-style playlists, you know, the mixes, celebrity mixes, or they'll have, you know, hip-hop 1992 to 1994, stuff like that. You take that playlist, you drag it over to your Zune, it downloads all the music, puts it on your Zune because you're paying that monthly fee. There is something to be said for that, I have to say.
I have to admit that, especially if they move the value of the songs that I was downloading up. So, for instance, if I could download a 192 or 256, level.
I don't think people care about that. You care.
No, I care about it. But here's the deal: is that if I could pay a subscription and get 128, and then if I really want this song, I'm going to buy a higher quality one, and it's going to cost. You know, that's the trade off, and I get to keep it, and it's higher quality. It's really like you could market it as quote unquote CD quality. It would be. And so if I had those choices where I can just be constantly grabbing this watch, I'd be happy to pay $20 a month.
So 20 is that the
for me 20 20? Bucks a month?
You know, Yahoo Music for a while was $5 a month,
and I'd be happy to pay 20.
Well, I use a lot of music. I guess when after the Napster stuff started catching on, whenever that was, 99, right. 2000. I mean, I immediately got really interested in all kinds of flavors of this. I mean, personally, I've always disagreed with the, at one time conventional wisdom that this was turning America into a nation of thieves. I think what it turned America into was a nation of people who wanted immediate gratification at a reasonable price.
Right, and who loved music again. And I tell you, it reawakened my musical interests.
And at the time, I was doing Cold Fusion development, so I needed a PC. And I would sit there and
You needed a drug.
I would sit there and listen to Rhapsody all day, just stream it, through the house.
Well, this is the same thing, except you could put it on a portable
device. And the other
device.
One then was e-music. And e-music kind of ate the booger, because they used to have an amazing
system. Booger?
Yes, they asked
Scott. Ate the booger,
just like that football player. What did you see that YouTube video?
E-music had a thing that was all you can eat for something like, what was it, 15, 20 bucks a month? Right. Anybody remember? Right. And you could download unlimited MP3s for like 15, and then they changed it.
Right. So, I got to break in here, because I heard there was just tons of research from people saying we want to own our music, and everyone talked about all these things being evil.
I felt that way too.
I did too.
Until I used a subscription service, which is, by the way, the first time I used it was yesterday when I got this Zune. And I'm not merely listening on the computer, but even with a portable device. Well, the idea of being able to fill your portable device right there with anything you want, because you paid the 15 or 20 bucks a month, is very attractive.
Well, and I think that also, especially when you're dealing with more niche markets where you're kind of exploring, it's really, really great. If you're listening to international music or house music.
It's also great for first-time users, because you sit down, you're not going to fill an iPod in 1 day, 1 month, maybe even 1 year at 99 cents a song. You can on a subscription device. Mm. I have a 30 gig Zune. I fill at least half of it in about half an hour just by dragging over playlists.
Well, right. I mean, not only is I don't think there's not a... It's just no chance Apple's going to do this. They're working more towards they're going to try to force you to buy albums now. That's the new trend. They're changing the way iTunes pricing works, and they're going
to... I think that's the record companies. And I have to say that. One thing about the subscription is, for instance, they have a Paul Simon collection, right? I love Paul Simon. All of his songs, great. And if I don't like one, I can just drag it off. Doesn't matter. Except you open it up and it says, not available, not available, not available. The record companies are putting license restrictions saying, no, sorry, you got to buy this one.
That's the partial album.
Yeah.
And so
it's not just partial album, it's also for subscriptions. You can't use the subscription feature on this song. Oh, Kodachrome, you have to buy.
Apple is moving towards doing this in such a way that, first of all, is from an encouraging standpoint. I'm assuming later on it'll be more heavy-handed. Now they're saying if you bought the single...
Yeah, yeah.
And
they've always done that, though.
And you want, well, but now they're getting pretty vocal about reminding you of it. Yeah. And
they've always been some things you had to buy the whole album.
And see, for me, that's where this model breaks down. Because, see, the whole reason I got attracted to the iTunes thing was...
is a la carte.
I wanted to pick the three songs on the album I really like.
But, of course, that's just chewing up the music industry.
That's why Metallica didn't want to be on iTunes for years. Yeah. They say, we are artists who create albums, not singles.
Well, live in the real world, dudes. Do something that works for everybody or forget about it. I mean, you know.
I think that's why people stole Metallica music.
It boils down to, though, if you make bad stuff and it sucks, no one's going to want it. And you shouldn't be able to, you know, they're treating everybody like it's a cell phone company where you can force people to subscribe.
Well, let's say
I want to say one thing about that. One is, on one side... I used to work, you know, working for Sony, you know, we used to know that what you needed was three good songs, you know, and you'd sell the album.
Right.
You know, so
you'd
release three good singles and you'd sell the album, and the rest of it oftentimes was really bad.
But what about a Sgt. Pepper, where it really is a concept?
Or a Trick of the Tail, or Duke,
Ziggy
Stardust from Genesis.
You know Genesis?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, but you look at like
I just had a moment that was
good.
I'm totally having a Selling England by the Pound face right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
So
they looked into each other's eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little scary.
I saw that.
Merlin and I are
maybe
going
it's
out
better
later
if we
tonight,
do this over Skype, Leo.
Yeah, yeah. So
now you know why I said I will never come here.
Suddenly, Alex seems so dreamy. He likes Peter Gabriel too. Any kind of an album where you know.
But a trick of a tale, for instance, is an experience, you know, or English Settlement by XTC is an experience. It's not one single that is.
We made this record. We were thinking of it as an entire concept, not just one song, but a whole bunch of songs.
And because we were bloody drunk, we knew none of them were any good.
I know it needs bloody strings.
So by not putting a 2 second break in between, see, we made one long side so that you'd have to listen to the whole bloody thing.
And we figured that if you just listen to the whole thing, you might like it by the end, especially if you're drinking enough beer.
Welcome once again to House of Terrible British Accents.
On Broadway!
All right, that was enough of that. Boy, oh boy.
4,000 iPods just
now,
went fast forward.
Now I have a...
That wasn't even the commercial.
So you got your Zune, you got your Marketplace, you go in, you put down your how much a month for the subscription?
I don't know, actually, because Microsoft sent me a two weeks free, but
it's about to go up because of Universal.
But you put it down.
It
but how does this? And again, I'm gonna talk out of my butt about this because I don't really understand
this. I'm thinking
this.
It's probably $15 to $20
but
a month.
Okay, yeah. And their whole model of the whole Marketplace deal is about this spreading music, getting people.
Right.
So the idea is you fill your Zune with a bajillion songs. You give it to a kid on the subway, and now the virus has passed, so to speak.
Welcome to the social, dude.
Okay. Creepy.
Whatever the hell that
means. Social in Nova Scotia is awake.
Yeah, so
does that figure? Does that figure into it though, in terms of just a difference in strategy? I mean, because that's
I'm sure the record companies like that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Although the sharing is ridiculous. I mean, I have to say, Microsoft really botched.
As soon as you start playing it, it counts as a play.
Yeah, they botched that. Three plays or 3 days. That's
pretty weak.
I think probably the labels kind of insisted on that. This is a device designed by the record labels. Yeah. Clearly.
Well, the problem is, in order to share it, you got to find somebody else with a Zune, and all those people with iPods aren't going to care.
Well, and I think that the problem that this is the classic difference between Apple and Microsoft is always that Apple always goes bottom up from the consumer, and Microsoft always goes top down from the corporate. You know, and that's how that's why they have all.
Although Apple's changing, you know, Steve Jobs is absolutely talking with the record companies and appeasing them and trying to keep them happy. I mean, he was able to get some good deals because everybody said, well, it's just It's just Apple. It's just an iPod. You know, how bad could it be if the
how
iTunes?
How many songs will people actually buy?
But I don't think now, people are actually going to buy these things.
But now that they're going back to negotiate, even Universal said, "Well, this is going forward. We really want them to pay for the give us a royalty for per device." You were at the Zune launch, weren't you, Scott?
Yes, I was.
And they asked you to bring your iPod.
We're not going to talk about too many of those details. But let's just put it like this:
Were you in Redmond?
I live in Seattle.
Right.
And there's a slightly less than enthusiastic response. It wasn't exactly an SRO type event, okay?
To begin
and,
with.
All I can say is that the buzz around the hot dog vendor outside Macworld is about four times better than what they had managed to
it
achieve.
It kind of kills me because I think in many ways the Zune is a good idea. And as I said, there's things like the Zune Marketplace that made me rethink how I'd like iTunes to operate.
I walked up and I said, so is this the Zune launch party? And there was like three guys going, we kind of think so, but we don't know.
You can go to that or the chiropractic convention across the street.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hyperbole here, but it wasn't like any kind of Mac event I've been to where, all the press is buzzing and everybody's in waiting and everything's
it's full of like, spazzy fanboys.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, there's a turkey vomit brown box over there that does some kind of music.
I like the brown one. I think the brown one looks pretty cool.
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, so last thing about the Zune. If taken as a thing in the world in obscurity, like if we stop the constant comparisons to the iPod, I mean, for you guys who have played with it, I tried to play with an iPod or with a Zune the other day at Target,
flop.
I got very confused. Really?
Yeah.
You feel like
it's
iPod
not merely,
notwithstanding,
yeah.
take it all away just as a box that the kids are going to grab and use. You think it's not successful?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make it. But I think there's some very interesting, innovative stuff, and I think this is version one.
And I think the screen looks great.
Well, I agree. There's some very good stuff about it, and I think it's version one, and I think it will get better. I think Microsoft has firmware upgrades to make that will take away a lot of the things. For instance, the Wi-Fi you can't use to buy a song. That you should be able to download songs via Wi-Fi. That's crazy. And I'm sure in version two, things like that will happen. There's no podcast support.
I also think the licensing that they're doing with giving the record industry back $1 each
makes me.
But that's going to.
We don't know if it's $1, by the way. We don't know how it could be $10. We don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. But yeah. what I do know is it's going
to affect basically like a kickback or what would you call
a kickback.
Tax?
Yeah.
The presumption is it's going to be used for piracy. We want our cut. Which infuriates
me. That's a point I wouldn't want to cede if I were in the hardware
business.
I
agree, but this is why we're mad at Microsoft. But they ceded it, and who knows how hard they fought, but they ceded it.
I can understand it if it was like Bob and Ernie Software Company, but this is Microsoft.
Well, what it does is it kind of messes up the deal for Apple because if I was Microsoft, I'd get them asking, well, we're getting
it on purpose.
Yeah, oh, I think so.
Now, this is an idea, though, that's been around for a while. They tried to do it in Canada. In fact, in Canada, when you buy blank media, you pay a royalty to the recording industry. Remember when DAT tape came out in the States, you paid a royalty to the recording industry. They like this idea. They've always liked this idea.
Yeah, who would? You don't have to actually do anything to get paid.
You don't have to sell products. Just assume it's going to be used for piracy.
That's so pathetic. That's like the book industry saying like there should be a paper tax because people might use it to photocopy.
Exactly.
It.
It's appalling. And for Microsoft to
concede it
is...
They're treading water until they can figure out what their 2.0 is on their freaking...
Well, they have the 2.0 in their hands. I don't understand. It's obvious. Look at the success of the iTunes Store. I think it's... So you think this is a conspiracy that Microsoft really just...
I really do, and I think it's connected to JFK's death. And I think that that's
Oliver
part of it.
Play this podcast backwards.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that it's
dead.
No,
I feel like
Walt is dead.
No, but I do think that I think that it's a tactical move to put more pressure on Apple. I think that this is the record industry really wants to squeeze this. I think that eventually, I still think that Apple is going to get to a point where it doesn't make any sense to keep on working with these jack. Well, I won't say what I was going to say about that. And then,
I want to know what came after Jack.
It started with an A. So,
Rabbit.
Yeah, Jack Rabbit. So they want to deal with these Jack Rabbits.
Like
and the thing is that Apple is building a vertical market. They have the content creation. We have everything from GarageBand to Logic. Eventually, you're going to get to a point where the artists are tired of getting screwed. Apple's tired of getting screwed. The consumers are tired of getting screwed, and they're going to just cut everybody out.
Yep.
And these record companies used to be a PR thing, but I don't listen to the radio anymore. Right. I listen to my iPod.
They do nothing now.
They are useless.
For something like 12 episodes now, but I mean, it's so appalling to me that there's this entire industry whose business model is predicated on the same concept as sheet music, and they're trying to make this entire nation feel bad about the fact that their false economy suddenly has holes in it that can't be enforced by by legal and physical means. And it's just, it's so appalling to me that we allow that kind of leverage to go on. I mean, they're not innovating. They haven't tried to innovate in years.
I think it's very possible we could look at the Zune as a watershed, that this may actually be so encumbered, that the DRM may be so appalling, that the insult to consumers by paying a tax to Universal may be so insulting, that we actually see it as the beginning of the end of this. This is maybe the last gasp of this kind of
grasping. Or the beginning of like the opportunity to make some really serious dough.
Well, by doing it right.
In a different way.
In a different way.
I've got the model. I'm going to get a kazoo and hum into a recorder that records to my flash drive and then just hand those flash drives out.
You can record right
everybody.
Into your iPhone. And yeah. Genesis is going on tour again.
Are they really?
Yeah, I think Phil Collins has some payments.
Don't forget Gentle Giant's playing the B-side.
Gentle Giant. That is some deep catalog.
I seem to remember there was a... This is actually kind of an interesting business. They sell a USB key at concerts with the concert recording as you're going out the door.
I love that.
The Pixies were doing that. You can walk out. You can buy a disc on the way out.
Yeah. But well, this is a USB key, and you bring it back, and it puts it on a machine.
Such a good idea.
In a machine, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, as I remember, I will have to look back and see the company that invented this has trademarked it or patented it or whatever. Nobody else can do
but
it.
You've captured it right there. I mean, and this is the part that I find so galling. It's just that we're all made to feel bad because the way that our grandparents bought music and a business model that has not changed substantially, literally since sheet music, we're being made to feel bad because now for the first time they don't have that leverage. Instead of them, like I say, innovating,
you're
coming up with things like that.
Because you won't live by our business model.
But my gosh, the money that they leave on the table with not taking the opportunity to give people all this stuff when they want to buy it,
right.
You know, to get, even if it has DRM in it, gosh, that's still a step forward.
It's back to what you said about Napster. It opened your eyes to the notion of get it what you want, when you want it, be able to
and
move it anywhere you want.
And you've got people in the habit of going and buying stuff. I can't even tell you the ridiculous amount of money I now spend on iTunes that I never,
me
if,
too.
If there hadn't been a Napster, there wouldn't be an iTunes.
I agree with you. The music company's made a lot more money out of it.
I just bought the first season of 30 Rock. I bought the five episodes that are out so far. I bought probably like 10 albums in the last week.
You know who's losing from my point of view is the cable companies are going to lose, because I would much rather buy my TV shows a la carte.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about a la carte
right.
CDs. The cable companies got it worse. You can't even buy an individual channel, you can, let alone
right.
a show.
Well,
you have to buy a whole bunch of channels. You got to get, you know, 12 channels, get a whole tier.
You got to get up to the next level.
Just because you want to see one show.
Yeah. I had to do that to get MTV Classic.
Yeah, but actually.
I have all these lame channels I don't want.
You
want
to watch those.
Duran,
Hungry Like a Wolf.
That's true.
VH1 Classic and MTV Classic. VH1 Classic. Is it VH1 Classic?
It's VH1.
It rides. So I am so, I'm getting so old and I love it.
VH1 Classic, those bands, this is how I know I'm old.
Yeah.
I've never heard of any of them either. They're too new.
Oh my God.
They're young people.
That's when you know you're in real trouble. When the VH1
why don't they ever play Jolson?
Like,
they never play anything from
you
Jolson.
You ain't had nothing yet. It's like, where's the Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, okay?
Yes.
I don't want
hello,
too much.
Hello, baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my now. Yes, sir. Send out the Scott
Ford. Ha-dink-a-dink. Okay, I just want to...
Ha-dink-a-go.
We should close this off, but I just want to point out one thing about how much money's being left on the table, Merle. That's a good point. Back in 1995, I got my very first RIAA threatening letter because I launched Net Radio and we played music on the internet. And we were in the middle of an ASCAP deal, so it wasn't like we hadn't been paying attention to that. And these guys were, we're going to kill your kids, we're going to kick your dog, we're going to do we're going to hit you so hard your cat dies. I mean, it's, you know, they were all over, and they said, no, we're never going to let this happen. And for 5 years, they battled that kind of stuff. And then somebody flipped a switch and said, oh, yeah, we guess we can make money at that. So, you know, I know that they supposedly represent the interest of the artist, but if I was one of those artists, I'd say, where were you the 5 years people were trying to pay me?
A lot of artists do say that now. I think that they're
and more waiting. And more, I think, are going to continue to.
And that's sea change will come. If the artists say, we're done.
Well, but the thing is, as an existing artist, if I was Sting,
right.
If I was Sting, I could go straight to iTunes and make more money than I ever made.
He doesn't need the album.
He doesn't need A&M Records to
sell. Well, but
he
also doesn't need the money, so there's less incentive for him. I think it's going to be the young,
new artists. Do you guys follow the iTunes charts? I mean, do you follow the supposedly now this is like a big thing is watching for something just happened recently. One of these records, just its sales. Oh, gosh, I'm so uninformed on this, but there's a single that just came out that for the first time its sales on iTunes exceeded its sales.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
debut
that.
Week. I mean, do you think we're going to keep just seeing more of that?
Absolutely.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
But I'd like to disintermediate iTunes as well. I mean, iTunes is, you're just replacing
iTunes
one master
just
for
another.
Store
to me. Like, like someday, as much as I love iTunes and I...
Well, they've got
so
the DRM,
money.
They've locked you into the iPod, you can't play it on any other device.
Someone would update J him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the issue. It's really replacing one master with another. I don't think that's
the
solution.
But let's put the music on these little platters, and then we'll put them in shrink wrap, and we'll sell them in stores.
We'll ship them by truck.
What's
the bandwidth of a truck loaded with CDs driving across the country?
There's actually a guy.
I hate word problems.
He started this company. He claims that iPods and iTunes and all this stuff is dead. What people really want is massive amount of DVDs with all the digital media content preloaded onto them that they can buy through the mail.
That's sensible.
You know, it's interesting to see that the models kind of just go full circle.
Reed Hastings at Netflix told me, he said that the whole idea for Netflix came to him because his college computing professor said, what's the bandwidth, which is higher, an OC-48 or a truck bearing 3,000 DVDs? You know, the truck has more bandwidth.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, I guess I could, you know, DVDs
maybe
by mail.
Maybe we'll get back to 8-track tapes. But
I think we get back to where bandwidth gets. Because I know I have a hard time imagining. I mean, Tower Records is right across the street.
You still go to a record store?
No. I was going to say, what I do is I go over there and I sometimes buy DVDs with special effects extras.
Well, I like
and I buy
extras,
sandwiches.
Sure.
They have great sandwiches. We had some today. You know, but those are the
didn't
two
they
things.
Go bankrupt, Tower?
What?
I think they did.
You know, Virgin Tower. Records. I'm sorry, Virgin.
Virgin.
Records.
Virgin. I think Tower.
So I go over there and I buy DVDs on sale or with special effects extras or sandwiches. But I never even imagine. I mean, the entire CD section doesn't even exist for me.
Dude, I went on to okay. So the other morning, I woke up. I get up really early. I have a bunch of coffee. I'm full of beans, and I suddenly had this desire to
Don't
have
you grind
lots
your coffee before you
sorry?
Drink it.
Do what?
Grind your coffee before you drink it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next time, try breaking the Prozac in half. I get up, I'm full of beans, and a lot of my iTunes purchases happen in the morning. This is when I'm doing a lot of work. I'm trying to get some writing done, and I had this sudden desire to have lots of the jam, this band, the jam. And so I hopped on iTunes, and I immediately bought this best of from them. They didn't have
sells more records because you can push a button.
Oh my god!
Mm-hmm. And buy a record.
But here's my only point, and I know we're going way too long on this, but my desire was to I immediately wanted the three classic jam records. I wanted them, and I wanted them on my hard drive. And they went. So what did I do? I went on Amazon, and with my stupid Amazon Prime, I had it delivered the next day.
At least you bought it.
But for the first time in my life, really, it really hit me. I opened a cardboard box that had been delivered to my house overnight by a big gas-guzzling truck.
How
inefficient
is that?
I cut it open to pull out a bunch of plastic air-filled balloons that were protecting two plastic boxes with plastic wrap and a plastic disc.
Containing data
that I could have had from anywhere. Yeah. But I mean, I know I'm saying things that people have been saying for 10 years, but it really struck me how incredibly appalling that is.
Well, look what Apple's doing with Purdue here. I mean, this could be a big step forward in terms of delivering not just music, but video.
Yeah, so Apple is, this was some R&D that they're doing with Purdue. Their Envision Center for data perceptualization. Now, what this was doing was moving a video. So this is streaming video, 30 frames a second at 4096 by 3072.
Wait,
24 bit color.
Wait a minute. So 1080p, 1080 progressive, the highest possible.
That's 1920. This is twice that.
This is twice
more than twice. Whoa. So it's four times the bandwidth because it's four. You know, and what we're
so
talking
this is
about
super high def.
7.5 gigabits per second.
Wow. And they were able to do that.
And to
see,
give you an idea.
The movie industry thinks if we get these guys moved to HD DVD, we'll be safe for a little longer because it's, you know, now it's so much data. But
this
technology is moving faster than they can.
Yeah, this is it's going to keep on going. And as I said, every time someone asks me whether Blu-ray or HDV is going
to,
you know, win.
They're going to lose.
I say that by the time we figure it out, we'll be downloading. Yeah. I mean,
and, you know, that's absolutely true. And
do you think bandwidth is still the hang up for this stuff?
I think it is right now, but I mean,
you know, bandwidth meets compression. You both ends have to work to make this happen, but it's going to happen. And it's really a horse race now between these high def formats and electronic distribution.
Well, and hopefully we have enough competition. The reason we have such bad bandwidth is not because we couldn't have better. It's because everyone spent so much money on DSL and so much money on cable modems and so much money on everything else. They don't want to upgrade the systems. They don't want to spend the next $1 trillion
it's bad
that's required.
To have infrastructure. The nations where there's no infrastructure.
In Rwanda. This was in the Chronicle this last week. In Rwanda, they are running fiber to the entire country. They're just running fiber to the entire country because it's cheaper.
Same thing in South Korea. Same thing in Vietnam.
And, anywhere in Rwanda, you'll be able to open up a EVDO style 400 to 700 kilobits per second, on a cell phone anywhere in the country. Mm. All the schools are going to have fiber going to central servers, because the reason they're doing it is because it's cheaper to put thin clients at the schools,
right,
to let them just access
bandwidth
the central
cheaper
servers.
Than hardware.
Bandwidth is cheaper and more reliable than hardware. And they can put a $100 box that doesn't break down sitting in that school for the next 10 years and have it all wired in.
Makes you wonder if the $100 computer is such a good idea. Maybe a thin client is
a
better choice.
For this stuff, that's what they've decided. And we're talking about, it used to be $1,500 a month for 5 years ago in Rwanda. It's now $70 a month for a fiber connection.
So let me get this straight. I have to go to Rwanda to get my good bandwidth. I go to Iraq to get my free health care. And pretty much where I'm at, I get nothing.
And I'll just here for your news.
And I'll just here for my news. Thank you.
Welcome to the West in the 21st century.
Any other stories on the top of your minds at this point?
I had one come up that was kind of interesting. This is via a mailing list that I am on. Hello, friends. What do you guys know about VMware virtualization?
I love it.
This was the buzz today.
Parallels is, of course, the top virtualization choice in the Mac world. They did a really great job. $79. You can run Windows, Vista, XP, Linux. But VMware has historically been the company to beat in the Linux and Windows space. And they announced a beta client for Macintosh. So is it shipping now, the first beta? Because I'm on that mailing list. I'm waiting to see it, because it could be very, very good.
I think it's out there.
It's out there. Yeah. Okay. They announced that we're going to do it. I signed up for the beta. I've been waiting for that email saying come download it. Now, I have to say, on the Windows side, Parallels is actually faster than VMware. But VMware has some other advantages. We'll just have to wait and see. One of the nice things about VMware is any VMware setup you've created, all of these virtualization things make a file instead of a hard drive. It looks like it's a Windows computer, but it's just a file. If you're using VMware on Windows, on Linux, on Mac, those files are completely compatible. So you can set up you can set up a virtual machine on your Windows machine, copy it over to your Mac. It runs exactly the same content.
For somebody like me who doesn't know the first thing about this stuff, it's all just been like pops and buzzes. What would you recommend if I wanted to?
Right now, Parallels is no question. $79. You have to have a copy of Windows. Mm-hmm. I use it for both Windows XP and Vista, and they run great. It's mm-hmm. this is the real advantage of the Intel Mac.
We've had some members doing a lot of Parallel stuff, and they found that the Photoshop, for instance, runs faster on Parallels than it does in OS
X. Windows
Photoshop
has traditionally been faster, unfortunately, than OS X.
Well, and right now we're sitting with a non-native version,
I haven't really followed this carefully. I've just kind of been watching the shadows cast by a lot of my Windows friends kind of turning and starting to kind of look in this direction. And I think we're getting really, it feels like, this is purely anecdotal, but it feels like we're getting to a point where, in the same way that a lot of people held out, like, oh gosh, I just have one more OS 9 application I live by. I think now people are getting to the point where, like, well, you know what? I think I can survive running my one app.
We're at the tipping point.
But I think that's why we've seen incredible growth over the last two or three months for Apple. It jumped like a 1%.
Vista's going to slow this down. I think if you're a Windows
user... Or speed it up.
Well, that's the question.
I mean, Vista's doing,
we don't know until January 30th when people start using Vista.
January 30th, you really think that's the date?
It is officially
the farm.
Oh, no, in fact, it's out. People are getting copies of Windows Vista.
Because we don't get our update until they get theirs, right?
That's right.
Isn't that the deal?
Leopard comes out after Vista.
What?
Because
we got skin in the game.
That's right, exactly. No, but I do think that people will look very closely. In fact, there are probably people waiting. Now, there are some interesting things. We talked about this on Twit this week. New Vista is pretty demanding in terms of hardware. If you want to run all the latest Vista features, you have to buy new hardware.
And that puts you in a position to decide what
maybe
you're going to do.
That's exactly right. Maybe I'll run it on a virtual machine in the
Well,
Mac.
That's the question. Is it's not so much are you choosing between OS X and Vista. What you're choosing is, I only want Vista or I want both.
That's not quite all you're choosing. You're choosing between whether or not you like adware and viruses or not.
Oh, boy.
Vista may, the jury's still out, but Vista
may
be.
You may take two drinks.
Yeah.
Take two drinks.
But I think that
iPhone.
iPhone.
There goes the wild turkey.
But I do think that, like, for me, I can't imagine at this point buying something other than an Apple, not because OS X is necessarily better. There's things that I need PCs for. I mean, I am in boot camp because of those 3D programs that I use. at least once a day. I mean, so I'm using Windows more on my Mac than I did before. I keep it running almost all the time. Yeah. So the thing is, I'm using it more. So it's not for me. It's not a choice about whether I'm using Windows or OS 10. It's whether I'm buying an Apple or something that limits me to only Vista. You know,
am I the only person who's running? Constantly running out of hard drive space.
Oh my goodness!
Because I got to tell you, I at this point I can't even imagine trying to run Windows on my machine. I mean, even after I've gotten into this like completely.
You're
compulsive.
A laptop user, though.
I'm a laptop user.
See, I think that's why desktop users. Where there was so
that's
much
true.
Hard drive space.
That's true. Because my gosh, it just drives me crazy, though. I mean, I'm forever having to clean out iTunes and
Merlin. There's these holes on the side of your computer there, and you can plug drives right in there.
Well, you know what though? It's turtles all the way down because once you get a big ass hard drive,
you fill that
can
one
I say
up.
That?
Turtles all the way down? I think so.
Once you've got a big ass hard drive, you need a way to back
eat
up your big ass hard drive. Right? So, I mean, you get into this thing where,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a terabyte network attached storage that I back stuff up to for that very
And so,
reason.
I mean, like, but the problem is, I mean, like, oh, some of this I get around with things like Chronosync, where I have Chronosync automatically back up my iTunes folder every couple of days so I can throw things away
That's
with
impunity.
That's a very
good idea, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's I'm constantly, it basically, it moves
Chronosync?
Over. I use Chronosync, and it moves over. You can do, Chronosync is nice because it's, if you don't have the skills to do something like rsync, it confuses you.
Right.
Chronosync has a great GUI, and I've talked about this on 43 folders, but I have a very basic script that says compare these two directories, being my iTunes music folder and the external drive. Move over anything that's newer or larger
file
size.
That's excellent.
And so then I can throw away everything with impunity.
Right. So is this your tip?
No, but that's a good tip. Chronosync is a great app.
I'll use it as my tip because I don't have one.
Well, I did a little thing on smart playlists that a lot of people liked last week, actually as a result of a recent MacBreak Weekly. But long story short, I feel like I'm forever having to. I don't know how people are able to run all this Windows
well,
stuff.
Well, it really is.
I'm always down to like 5 gigs all the time.
You're saying the thing that really is it, which is you must have a 60-gig iPod. And you're filling up your hard drive because you have to sync the iPod to your computer. I mean, get a desktop and sync your iPod to that instead of your laptop. I don't keep my iTunes folder.
So the answer
is
buy another Mac.
Buy a desktop.
If I give you the phone, could you call my wife,
honey? We're buying a Mac.
Take
back that snowball and trade it in for a Mac.
I already took the snowball back. I had the snowball for 10 minutes.
Wow!
And so
fast.
You guys made me take it back.
Yeah, I have 3 80-gig LaCie drives that I carry. What? I have 100 gig. We have 160 gig sitting in a box here. We're going to upgrade
these
my
laptops,
computer.
So even with 160 gig, that's just not enough. Especially if you have a 60 gig iPod.
No,
and you're putting your photos on there as
well. No, the worst part is.
You're
going to
fill that thing up right away.
And I just got a Rebel, so now I'm taking raw photos.
Yeah. The raw will
ridiculous.
Kill you.
Ridiculous. Okay, so can I make a placeholder here? Can we please agree to have a discussion sometime soon about the easiest idiot-proof way to get terabyte-plus space at home?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll
I think that's a discussion I would really like to have.
And if you have suggestions, if you're listening, if you have
and
suggestions,
I'd rather not spend a grand because everybody keeps telling me, oh, go buy these 80 gig drives and just put them together. And
no, if you have suggestions,
I use a RAID 5, but it's a grand.
Let's ask the audience.
Okay. Well, I would just like I know we're probably running low on time, but I would like to put a placeholder to discuss.
No, we'll discuss it. And if you're listening, if you're listening, assuming that you're actually listening,
if you're listening,
you're not listening, pay no attention.
Yeah, pay no attention if you're not listening.
My mom and the other person
go up to MacBreak Weekly on the twit.tv site and let us know how you would do that. And then we'll look through some of that stuff.
Yeah, my friend Leonard has tried to explain this to me. I went down and had lunch at Google, and Leonard tried to explain, at Yahoo rather, and Leonard
lunch
tried
is
to
free
explain,
at Google.
Yeah.
All those places down there. You get,
it's free at Yahoo?
Is it Yahoo? Is it free at Yahoo?
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, they were there first.
We went to Google. It was amazing.
Great.
It was so good. It was such good
four different restaurants.
And we get to the end.
Did you go to the new building, the green building?
No.
Have you been in there?
No.
Merlin gets to go to the
They have cool stuff in the lobby, too. They have neat stuff.
Like the big whiteboard with
Yeah, they
the
love doing those whiteboards.
Big business plan
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, the big business
they
plan.
They have 43 different cafeterias.
Well, they have a building 43. I actually
43
have my photo
cafeterias.
Taken in front of...
.com. Wait, hold on.
Step 3, profit.
Shall we do our picks? Let's go around, starting with Scott Bourne. Do you have one this week?
I do. It's kind of an obscure one, but if you're into any kind of audio recording, which for some reason is on my mind, today.
I don't know
audio
why.
Recording, eh?
Yeah. If you do podcast or if you record your own music or if you do anything that requires you to engage a digital audio recorder, you may have the occasion to need sound effects or you may have the occasion to need beds, music beds, background beds, SFX and beds, as we call them in the biz. Mm. And you may not want to buy an entire collection of these things because you might just be the occasional user. And if you are that kind of person, I have found a website for you. It is called SoundRangers.com. And think iStock Photo, with the change being that instead of pictures you're downloading audio files. The average sound effect there is $1.65. Now, if you were to buy a bunch of things there, you'd quickly spend more than you'd spend on the average big royalty-free collection. So it doesn't necessarily make sense if you need hundreds and hundreds of things. But if you're just going, well, you know, last night we recorded iLive Zone, and it was a show about, you know, gifts during the holidays, and I needed a little sleigh bell sound, and I was on my laptop instead of at home where I have all my stuff. So I went there, and I paid $1.65, and I got the sleigh bell sound. So
how's the search?
It was really fast. It's just like iStock. You just type in what you want, and there it is. And you can audition every single sound before you buy it. You have a shopping cart that works nicely. It was very quick. It was a very good experience. SoundRangers.com if you're in the recording biz or you want to be.
Very good.
I'm there.
Merlin so Mann.
Use this. You know, mine is not a new app. I try to come in, you know, for the kids. I like fresh. To have new things.
You like to be fresh.
Because the kids love new things. Yeah. They love the video games, and they love new things.
He's a fresh-dressed man.
Mine is an oldie. Mine is a program that, we'll call it an oldie recurrent, Speed Download.
Only recurrent. A little DJ joke there.
Is that what that is?
I think so. Yeah. All of us here. Exactly. We're all going, well, I don't know.
Yeah. He said only recurrent.
That's an orange sticker, by the way.
Speed Download is...
it is. It was.
On carts.
It was orange on mine,
carts?
Too.
Is that how you did
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it was an orange sticker.
Speed Download is, if you do any kind of downloading...
I still remember the cart number for Kenny Rogers the Gambler. I'm sorry, but...
TMI, too much information.
That is so pathetic.
I was, you know what? I was singing.
1923.
I
could go to the car
Ruby
rack.
To my wife the other night. She's never Ruby. Heard Ruby.
Don't take it.
And I'm like, Kenny Rogers
town.
In the first edition.
You're putting on your dress.
No, but there was a great parody. Here's the best part.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. Turn around.
There's a very good parody. There's a great parody. I have to find it for you. Where Ruby comes back.
Oh yeah.
I was getting down in the bar meeting, and Ruby don't come back. It was like she came back, and he's getting down. Ruby, get the hell out of town. It was very
wow.
funny.
Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah.
So if you do any kind of downloading, and I suspect that some of you do, you know that. Well, actually, this used to be more of an issue when connections dropped more often and things like that. Your little Hayes modem would drop. One of the great things that happened, I think, was Z modem was the first one I remember doing this because you could resume.
X modem was first. Oh,
X modem, Y modem, but Z modem you could resume.
Yeah.
So I use this program called Speed Download. It's from Yazsoft, YAZSOFT.
That's a great
one
program.
Word.
I've used that. Yeah.
Speed Download is terrific, especially if you're doing very large files. Because here's what Speed Download does: it makes it very easy for you to queue up a large number of files that you want to be downloading over time. It's just terrific. If you're trying to download things like, educational copyright-free movies and things like that, it's really terrifically useful. You can set up a queue that has priorities. You can set some things higher than others. You can throttle it, so if you don't want it to take over your whole network, you don't have to hack
I'd
on your
like
Linksys
you.
To do it. I oughta. Susquehanna Hat Company.
Slowly I turn. Step-based.
Oh, God, we're old. But Speed Download is great. And so if you
That's
do anything...
Great.
If
We've been doing this long enough now that we have some sort of strange stick going on that only we get.
So if you have an internet connection and you enjoy downloading, you might want to look at Speed Download from yassoft.com. Alex, do you have something?
You bet.
I think I do.
All right.
And I'm afraid we might have talked about this one, so I'm just going to throw it out there.
Spit it out. Yep.
So one that I like, a lot of times I have to build out like pipelines. So this is how a pipeline works.
I don't
this
think
is,
we've talked about any pipeline building software.
Please don't talk about your pipeline.
Well, I have to
we
oftentimes.
We had a lot of chili.
Oftentimes.
And I had, let me just say.
That chicken tikka masala really messes up my pipeline. That's
so
all
what do you got there?
OmniGraffle.
Oh, I love OmniGraffle.
It is. You're trying to build out. This is how a decision process goes.
See,
this is how a pipeline works.
Does it still come on every Mac, or do they stop doing
OmniGraffle
that?
Regular? I think still.
Does it still? But isn't?
Well, I know. I think OmniOnline still
Is it a 30-day version or is it a permanent version?
It's a full version, but it's a preview version.
It's the
Yeah, it's
not
an older
the newest
version. It's not the newer version.
It's not the newest version.
And it's worth, is it worth upgrading?
Because I have the professional.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've used it for...
You tell them, just for people, for the five people who don't... OmniGraffle is a program that makes it very easy for you to build things like diagrams.
Right.
All the stuff that you might have done in Adobe Illustrator 10 years ago.
Great illustrations in it.
It's just, it's so...
Well, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. Is that you're sitting there, why don't I just do this in... why don't I do it in Photoshop or Illustrator or whatever, in a drawing program? Any kind of drawing program. And the reason is...
stamps.
Well, here's the deal. Is you throw
magnets.
Your little...
It's all about the magnets.
It's about all about the magnets. So what happens is you say, I want this arrow to go from here to here,
yes.
and it sticks to the thing you're moving.
Yes.
So when you need to rearrange it and move it around and add stuff...
You can say, for example, this particular rectangle only accepts north and south magnets.
Wow.
So it makes it very easy to constrain the way your drawings work. It'll auto layout. It'll...
It's just such a great program. I've had it for so long. I can't remember what is different between the professional and the regular one, because I haven't had the regular one for like 5 years.
I can tell you one thing that's different. Have you used the built-in outliner?
No.
People don't even know this exists.
Of course, OmniGraph.
Ken Case told me this. I didn't even realize. I've been using it, and the CEO of OmniGroup actually told me about this. You can have an Omni outliner. There isn't in the drawer. It flies out to the left. There's a full-on outliner built in, and it's like old-school Inspiration. It's totally semantic. Mm-hmm. So it builds. So you can actually build your outline, and it'll generate all the boxes.
Sounds
and
like
then
it's
it
time
takes
to upgrade.
Completely abstracted from that.
Yeah.
You can say what selections you want for those boxes. Do you want them to be round? Do you want it to be whatever? It supports styles.
Yeah.
And it works back. It's, I think, almost completely 100% compatible with Omni Outliner, where you can go round trip.
And the great thing is that you're not just, you know, they have tons of icons that you can draw in, you know, the typical flow graph ones and Max and everything else and everything else. But it also has, you can just drag JPEGs in there. So you have pictures of stuff that you want to just throw in there and say, well, I go from this camera out to this. It's just.
And there's a site that I'm struggling to find right now that Ken just mentioned it to me yesterday and I've forgotten it. There's a whole OmniGraffle library site.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'd like. Because, of course, these templates are very useful.
Yeah.
And are they free or
The templates are all free.
Oh,
and if
wonderful.
You do things like IA, well, I mean, if you're doing IA...
Oh, you got to use IA.
You're using it already.
If you're, now, how does it compare to Visio, which is the Windows kind of version of this?
Well, this works on a Mac.
Okay, never mind.
And no, I don't know. Visio, I think Visio is a pretty mature app.
It's very mature.
Yeah.
It's almost elderly.
But no, I mean, to me, there's this constellation of apps that I would include OmniGraffle.
Yeah.
If you could afford it, the MindJet. What's it called? MindJet, the mind mapping program that they
do. You use that?
It's like $250. Mm. I don't.
So the answer would be no.
But you used Inspiration.
You know
when
what
it was
I?
In
oh
its
God,
heyday.
I love when Inspiration before Inspiration turned into a kindergartner application. I use that for IA all the time. Information architecture, doing flows and wireframes. And the other one that I've been playing with lately is CMap. Have you guys played with this? It's like a mind map, but it's a concept map. So you can draw these things to say like Leo Laporte is a member of TWiT, which is a network. And you can build these.
Gathered the value of that kind of thing.
Well, I've just started playing with it, and if you like mind maps,
is it for brainstorming? Is that the idea?
It can be. It's an interesting way to work out a concept in your head. I mean, to me, mind maps can be a little undirected. But CMap is the name of this app. I think it's Java.
I need something to help me think, so I might look at this. I often try.
I gotta say, I mean, OmniGraffle is great. OmniGraffle is great for just brainstorming. But what you're describing is fantastic.
Pipelines.
Yeah.
Well, but also I do when I'm trying to figure out how we're going to build a show, because a lot of times
when we build workflows.
When I say pipeline, I mean workflow.
Showing how all the cameras hook into the computer.
Well, but also for instance, it's like we're going to take MacBreak and we're going to record it here, and then we're going to compress everything for offline. Then we're going to put it up on the server, and then these editors from all over the world are going to download it. They're going to edit it. They're going to send their file back over here. And for me to be able to describe that to people is very, very important. And also, it helps me because as I draw it out, I'll go, oh, but I'm forgetting this. What do I do with this? And the action of actually doing it has me get a clear idea of what I'm actually doing, if that makes any sense.
No, totally. I mean, I think it actually helps you in your own head kind of work it out.
So finally, I'm going to wrap up with a program that is not maybe something you need. If you've been following along, you know that Merlin's a big fan of Text Expander, which is a great way of filling out text boilerplate when you type something a lot. It's probably the only way I've been able to handle my email overload is just by creating a lot of templates and pressing a couple of keys, and it really writes email for me. Ricardo Ettore, who wrote Type It for me many years ago and has kept it alive on the Mac, sent me a note saying, you know, you ought to try this Type It for me because it's a good program too. So he and you know what? I actually love it. There are reasons to use Text Expander and the reason to use Type It for me, but I think those of you who are Text Expander fans might want to just take a look. It's a free download. It's a shareware program. You can try it for free, though. It has a lot of nice features in terms of pausing, filling in, posting, pasting in the clipboard. And it's been very similar in many ways to Text Expander, but I think they've done a really nice
it's
job.
It's classic, though, right?
No, it is OS 10 now.
Oh, see, because last time I did Type It For Me, it was pretty...
It is fully up to date, and okay. I think in many ways a compelling competitor. I'm a big fan of Text
I'll
Expander.
Definitely have another look at it.
It's worth looking at.
Mark Hurst did a review of Type It For Me for 43 folders back in the Jurassic days.
It is Jurassic, but it's... I didn't know it was up to date.
Yeah,
Ricardo wrote this years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It is up to date. It's OS 10, fully Intel.
Awesome.
And I have to say, he's done a very nice job. I use Text Expander on one computer. I use Type It For Me on the other. By the way, it reads in the snippets. It's a little bit, I have to say, more flexible in its snippet handling than Text Expander. If there were one feature that I would say recommends it over Text Expander is it allows you to store snippets in a variety of different ways. Those snippets are the little boilerplates that you're saving, and you can create quite a collection of them over time. So Type It For Me from Ricardo Ettore. And that wraps up this edition, live and in person for the first time, all of us, of Mac Break Weekly. We will see you all next Tuesday, and if you get it out by Tuesday. If not, we'll see you next Wednesday. I usually get it out the same day, but it's just how I work. I just have a pipeline that's different than your pipeline. My pipeline
no pressure.
Might be better than your pipeline.
No pressure.
Mac Break Weekly, now 20% more passive-aggressive.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Mac Break Weekly.